The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of opinions about this deal rolling in, whether or not it will be successful. Ted Cruz has one. He's skeptical. He told The Hill, history teaches that giving billions of dollars to theocratic lunatics who want to murder us is not a good idea. I think the president is receiving some very poor advice on this deal. How do you view what the president...
This deal is shocking, Lee. And yep. I went through every word of it. I encourage you to do that. Don't take my word for it. Read it. You can. I mean, it's not very long. Yeah. And, I mean, pick your media outlets out everywhere now. J.D. Vance and Trump were correct. The version we've had all week, Bloomberg got pretty close, but it wasn't exactly the final deal. Now, the final deal is worse. It's far more shocking than even what we were talking about. It is everything Obama did and worse. Now, the good news is that this is a 60-day deal, okay? So this is not the final deal. All this is to get them to the bargaining table. The bad news, Lee, is that Iran has won so many things here that it never had before this war. Yeah. That is going to allow it and ultimately China to project so much power that it's going to be very hard to take back what we have given them in this deal. One of the most, I mean, some of these parts should just show shock. Let me start with how we got here, okay? Why would Trump do this? It doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, he's done so many great foreign policy things, right? Why would he do this? Why would he squander all of it? And it's very simple. I'm going to play this line for you and explain what he was saying.
Yes, it's in the low 70s now, right?
That's right.
That's amazing. So that's what speaks. That speaks louder than words. The alternative would be a worldwide depression.
Okay, so remember I told you in the beginning of this, Lee, the Exxon CEO was warning us, and I reiterated this very strongly about a week ago. In the beginning of this, beginning of the ceasefire, which was about 10 weeks, Exxon CEO and others warned, hey, listen, we got about 9 weeks here that we can do this, 11 at the outside, where all of these countries around the world have strategic petroleum reserves, like we do,
yes.
Right? And so they are all releasing to keep the price of oil down. It wasn't just us. And he said that what you're seeing is not the real price of oil. And in about 9 to 11 weeks or so, he warned, you're going to see 140, 150 a barrel of oil. That's what this Hormuz being, unpassable is going to give us, okay? We're about a week away from that. And last week, I told you this is coming. Trump was over a barrel financially, and he gave the house away.
Pun strictly intended there.
Yeah, no, he really was over a barrel. How did he end up here? He made a catastrophic strategic error when he was winning, and a mean man he was winning. This is what breaks my heart so much. He was killing it. He was going to completely reorder the Middle East, and someone got to him. I think it's J.D. Vance and Jared Kushner and Lutnick. Certainly wasn't Rubio. Rubio looked like he was at a funeral yesterday.
Yeah, no
he did. Did you see his face?
Oh, yeah.
He was standing as far back as he could. He looked like he was at a funeral. Everyone else was laughing and joking, and he just, you could tell. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But so what happened to Trump was, remember when they were softening up Karg Island, they were getting ready to take
right.
it? Yep. Oh, the control we would have if we'd taken it.
Absolutely.
And then Trump pulled the plug. He tacoed. He chickened out. He couldn't do it. He couldn't pull the plug. And every day, General Jack Keane, a good friend of Trump's, who Trump gave the highest honor to, the Medal of Freedom, looked calmly into the lens at Fox every day. Come on, you got to finish it. You got 30% of your targets left. You got to finish it. They're going to be able to control the state straight. Please finish it. Please finish it. And he never did. And he dithered for 10 weeks because he was afraid to pull the plug. And honestly, I think he was afraid to take a dozen to who knows how many casualties taken Karg Island. I think we could have controlled it. I think we would have maybe taken some, but he was afraid. He couldn't ultimately do it, and he wasted time. And over those weeks, Iran went from no power to all the power as we barreled, no pun intended, down the track to those strategic petroleum reserves around the world running out. We're going to hit 140, 150 oil. Once that happens, it's going to trigger a worldwide recession. He's not wrong about that. And so in the last minute, he and Vance go in there and cut the worst Iran deal anybody's ever cut. It's unbelievable. I mean, Barack Obama, again, really. Okay, first of all, no one has ever given Iran American cash. Okay, that's a silly canard. It's a paper tiger. It's stupid. Biden didn't give them our American tax dollars. Neither did Obama. Trump's not doing it either. What they did was unfreeze the money from the sanctions in a total betrayal of Congress. That's what Obama did, and Trump's getting ready to do it. Biden did it too. That's where all the money to build the nukes that Trump ultimately had to knock down, and good for him, in Midnight Hammer. Again, this is heartbreaking to me because he was doing so well. But this deal, oh, read it. There's no, in fact, it spells it out, Lee, no restrictions on who the money can be given to, including terror groups. No. It spells that out, which is why yesterday Hezbollah announced that Iran was releasing the money to them. What money? The money I care about, not the $300 billion. This $300 billion is also a silly canard. I don't know why anyone's talking about it. I don't care about it. It's stupid. It comes at the end of the deal. We don't even know what form it'll take. It may be direct investment. It's what it sounds like. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. If you're UAE, you want to invest in building a street back in Iran, yeah. Then you put the money in bond. We don't know what form it's going to take. We don't know that Iran's going to have it in cash. I doubt Trump gives it to them in cash. That would be stupid. It's a way to lose the midterms. He's not going to do that. I don't care about the $300 billion. What I care about is the $10 billion that they stand to make in coming weeks selling that oil with completely unrestricted, no sanctions. Even Obama didn't dare to do that. He left the secondary sanctions on. Trump's sanctions have been in place for almost a decade. Iran didn't have that. They've never had free, total, unrestricted oil in the last 20 years. Now they can sell it. It's going to be $10 billion in the coming weeks. And they can give it to Hezbollah, Hamas, and all their terror proxies, especially the Houthis in the Red Sea, so that they and China can continue controlling. Is it an absolute disaster? I don't know where to put it. And to spell that out in the MOU, that they can give it to whoever they want. And again, this is what happens when you dither for 10 weeks and Iran gets more and more and more and more and more and more power.
I think that what we see now is that Trump and Vance are making a economic and political decision.
Yes.
And before this, in the beginning of it, we were making strategic, military, and diplomatic decisions. And that was what things were in the initial stages of this operation. That's where the metrics were, that we were basing things on diplomatic, international relations, power structure, and military assets. That's where the decision-making power was. Now, as we get close to the midterms, and I do think this is political, this is not a criticism, this is simply my opinion, that they're now making political, economic decisions, mm-hmm. because the Trump administration wants to see Republicans stay in charge during these midterm elections. I think they've seen polling that shows that they are vulnerable. I think that they are looking at the economics of the situation, the cost of gas, the cost of increases we're seeing because of this. And so they're making a political, economic decision to try to put America first once again by backing off on this and finding some type of off-ramp and resolution. Although I think that I agree with you, it's not good. It's for the short term and for the long term, I don't think it's good. But I think it's what they feel like they have to do to get through the November election.
And in keeping with that, this economy is going to roar.
Yes.
Roar. Because let me tell you what, 60% of that inflation Democrats are wanting to complain about, it's gasoline prices. Mm-hmm. You take that 60% away, we're at historically low inflation, massive private sector job creation. Under Joe Biden, over 70% of it was state and federal government, right? This is real job creation. This economy is going to boom. They're not going to have an economic argument by November. I mean, barring like, I don't know, another 9/11 or something. That could happen. But if we don't have this. So yes, but they waited so long. Yeah. They gave all the power to Iran. And I don't know how you put this back in the box because, listen, here's one of the biggest problems, okay? This allows Iran to toll that straight. They do not use the word toll. You will not find that in the text.
Yes, but technically you're correct.
They call it a fee.
Iran and Oman are giving the opportunity to set the conditions for the passage.
Now, here's the problem, okay? And it's right there in this MOU, okay? That they are supposed to they're supposed to put their plan for charging this fee for controlling the strait, which they never have before. Iran's never controlled the strait before. That's insane. And it's finalized within 60 days. Trump can't bomb them back out of power in 60 days just before the midterms. So what you're going to get is what you saw, China and Iran setting the terms of the toll. And I'm going to tell you what they're going to be. Got to buy all your oil for dollars. This deal does not restrict that. So this is not just turning the strait over to Iran. It turns it over to Chiran. And it allows the thing I feared the most, which is China and Iran, to project power through violence and intimidation. And Lee, this idea that we can give the strait to Iran to toll, I'm sorry, they're calling it a fee now, how Obama-esque, that we can give it to them? By what right can we give it to them? I mean, when you're talking UAE, Oman, and Iran are face the strait. They're, you know, they abut the strait. We're going to tell UAE that Iran gets it? What? Again, this is just a 60-day deal. Keep that in mind. But this is going, we've never let them have this before. We've never given it to them. It's because of Trump's dithering that we had to get the economics we're going to get out of this. But folks, it's going to be very hard to put this back in the box. Iran is not going to want to give this up. But the good news is we get the past the midterm and the equation changes, Lee. It seesaws back and we have the power of time on our hands and Iran does not.
Yeah.
But man, there's a lot we're going to have to put back in this box.
Yes.
And they're going to pump billions into their terror proxies. And Lee, the most shocking part of this deal I'm going to describe in the next segment. And again, I encourage you to read it for yourself. There's some people lying about what's in this deal on our side. Just read it. You can read it. It allows Iran to keep that nuclear material and continue to enrich it. I thought Trump said they weren't going to get a nuclear weapon. Not what the MOU says.
So welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So folks, the good news is, you knew this last year if you listened to the show. In fact, I had a guy come up to me at Ballot Bash and say, wow, the economy is doing exactly what you said on exactly the time frame you said. Yeah, because the big, beautiful bill didn't go into effect till January. You put the fact that Trump has unsanctioned the Russian oil, it can now be sold on the market. They are ramping up as fast as they can go. Now, the Iranian oil is back on the market. And the biggest deal, of course, is all of the Trump tax incentives, but also tax incentives for factory building. This economy is going to roar and it's not going to stop. In fact, you know what my biggest fear is? That if Democrats win in 28, they'll take care. They'll take credit for this crowning achievement. But then you knew that if you listened to the show. I even gave you the timeline. Because again, the big, beautiful bill didn't take effect till January. What does it do? For years, the Uniparty incentivized with its tax structure, the export of American factories, and gave all the tax advantages to the big global corporations who send their stuff back in. It was a disaster for Main Street. Big, beautiful bill wipes that out. And so that is why you're going to see the explosion. That's why you're seeing the U-turn right now on factory jobs. So all of that is going to be really, really good. And this Iran deal is very good for that economy. But Trump screwed up. He screwed up because he dithered for 10 weeks. And why that breaks my heart so much is we had the upper hand, man. We were going to reorder the Middle East. And he threw it away. We were ready to take Kirk Island and he chickened out. Or he listened to J.D. Vance, who I'm not sure should ever be president after this past week. I'm really not sure. If you see Rubio's face, he looked like he was at a funeral yesterday, because he was. He was at a funeral for American foreign policy in the Middle East. It was bad. I'm not going to lie to you. This document... And they are right. J.D. Vance is right. The one Bloomberg published was not the real document. This one's worse. And this is why, listen to this, the Galibov, he's the guy who killed those 600 troops of ours in Iraq when we weren't even at war with Iran. He was head of the IRGC then. He's the guy who chanced death to America in the parliament. And the one we've been negotiating with, Trump says he's a great guy. His words, not mine. talked about, this is the greatest victory they have ever had at the negotiating table. And that is true. And he's including Obama and Biden.
Now, on the issue of negotiations, Iran's parliament speaker, Mohammad Khalibaf, and top negotiator said this.
The difference between the negotiations now and the previous periods is that today the flag of victory is in the field, which both enemies and friends have admitted. Our people saw the glory of the armed forces too, even though they were against the well-equipped enemy.
Okay. Trump says Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. This is what's shocking. And yeah, the document says that the Islamic Republic of Iran reaffirms it shall not procure or develop nuclear weapons. Is there any verify structure in this? No. None whatsoever. No system to check? Mm-mm. No. They're agreeing to figure that out later. But we gave away all of our leverage. So, I mean, Iran's never going to agree to that. This is the shocking part. The two parties agreed to discuss the issue of enrichment and other mutually agreed upon matters related to the Islamic Republic of Iran's nuclear needs based on a satisfactory framework being agreed upon in the final deal. So there's no framework here. But the shocking part is that Trump, for the first time, is allowing them to enrich with the minimum methodology to be downblended on site under supervision of IAEA. That, to me, is the most shocking part of this whole thing. It says, well, we're gonna let you keep that nuclear fissile material that you can make a bomb out of very quickly. We're going to let you keep that. We're going to let you extract it. You keep it. You just got to downblend it. You know how long it takes to upblend it back? A couple of weeks. That capitulation's so shocking, it just about knocked me off my chair. Yeah, keep it. We're not going to take it. And I will send the IAEA in there later and you downblend it, okay? And they're laughing. You right back up blend it. It's a matter of, you down blend it, you're just basically going to dilute it. You up blend it, you undilute it. I mean, it's silly. And, you know, I don't like Trey Gowdy. You know that. But he's right.
I was a little surprised, honestly. I mean, we literally had our foot on their throat militarily, economically. And I read this MOU, if you will, I guess about 48 hours ago. And I didn't believe it. I thought somebody was spoofing me. When I saw it, because I see what we're giving up, and then I see this word downblend, and I'm not the smartest guy in the world, Sandra, but if you can downblend, then you can upblend. And how long would it take Iran to upblend? Because Donald Trump is going to be gone in January 2029, but the so-called supreme leader is not going to be. So here's my question for my fellow citizens. Do you really think Iran has abandoned its nuclear ambition? Do you believe them? What do you think they're going to do with the $300 billion? What are they going to do with the oil revenue? You think they're going to build schools? You think they're going to build, like, they're going to make women's life better? Or are they going to continue to target America and Israel? I happen to think the latter.
The other most shocking thing about this deal, it spells out there's no restrictions on who the oil money can go to, because we just lifted all the sanctions. Even Obama didn't lift all the sanctions. He left secondary on. No restrictions. And give it to anybody, which is why Hezbollah announced yesterday that Iran has confirmed the money is going to go back into the terror proxies. They're getting some. They're getting some. Breaking news, folks. Donald Trump considering a co-endorsement in South Carolina. Yeah, because he's never liked Pam Evett and he can't stand Henry McMaster. They did him dirty. Told you. They did. They used that congressional seat, took the risk of a Hakeem Jeffries Democrat-controlled House, a risk of Guam becoming a state, of Puerto Rico becoming a state, of D.C. becoming a state with its new socialist mayor, two senators from each. Henry McMaster did not care. Neither did Pam Evett. Because you know what? Democrats only need those three seats. Could have been four, but Henry McMaster dithered around, wouldn't call a special session, and then wouldn't fight for the seat. He used it to try to get Trump's endorsement. I told you Trump was really bothered by that. Breaking news coming up. This is going to change everything, folks. Well, the rumor's been out there for about 2 days. Fox News just reporting looks like it's going to happen, a co-endorsement in the governor's race. Yeah, because Trump never wanted to endorse her in the first place. He was forced into it in exchange for Henry McMaster doing what he should have done, which is help Trump pass that all-Republican redistricting map instead of handing the Democrats a desperately needed district that we need so badly to control the House. You could tell Trump was steamed in his endorsement. Remember, that's why he threw Pam Evett under the bus. Made a liar out of her. She'd been saying since April, no, I'm not going to put Henry McDisaster Jr., a nepotism baby, on the, you know, who doesn't deserve the second highest position in the state. I'm not going to put him on my back. And Trump said she was. Why'd he do that? Because he's pissed. He should be. He was completely betrayed by the Lindsey Graham machine. Lindsey's number one in that machine. Mick Disaster's number two, our governor. She's his sidekick. So Trump doesn't like to lose. And Wilson is right there. He's pacing her. So folks, I'm going to ask you something. I don't do this. I don't endorse and I don't endorse now. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do today with my family. We're going to go vote for Alan Wilson. Let me tell you why we're going to vote for Alan Wilson. It's very important that you do this. This corrupt machine, Lindsey Graham's machine, has been in place since Reconstruction, after the Civil War in his state. It is profoundly corrupt. It's why we had the Murdaugh murders, why he was protected when so many bodies showed up around his family. That machine. A machine made even more potent with the infusion of Karl Rove Bush cash about 20 years ago. We have not been able to break it. And it's bad, bad news. This is a uniparty run state. And the profound selfishness. I mean, I get agitated thinking about it in the kitchen chopping stuff. Of thinking. I mean, we're in a situation, Democrats need three seats to take the House. They take Congress, folks. Oh, Katie barred the door. It's going to be a disaster. And Henry McMaster looks at that seat and he doesn't see it as a Republican. He doesn't see freedom. He doesn't see our fight against the enemy. He is so selfish. All he sees is a way to get his boy on Pam Evett's ticket and to force Trump to endorse her when he doesn't want to. And he gives it to the Democrats. He gives it to them. Who does that? Trump asked him to call a special session. He didn't. We had to fight for it for weeks. We needed 2/3 of the vote instead of the 51% that we needed if Henry had called it. And Henry was using that to pressure Trump. And then we ran out of time. And Trump side, Henry could have lobbied. He could have pushed Shane Massey, could have called him out by name. Pam Evett could have called him out by name. They said nothing because they wanted to keep the pressure on Trump. And we lost that seat. A seat that's to the Democrats. A seat the Supreme Court said is unconstitutional. And that map? Folks, that map not only flipped Clyburn a plus 14 Democrat seat, it would have flipped it to a plus 9 for us. A very weak seat that's purple out on the coast would have flipped to a plus 7, made it solid. That's two solid seats for us. McMaster didn't care. He saw it as a way to enhance his personal power, keep the pressure on Trump. Now the Democrats have it. Pam Evett presided over that. She took his endorsement. Folks, it's not just that, okay? It's not just the anger over that. It's not just that deserves an absolute whipping at the woodshed. No, it's not just that. We need to show that in the upstate, we can defeat that machine. It has never taken a defeat the entire time I've been here, all 15 years. Remember when Henry McMaster lost the upstate but still won the state? They're laughing. We don't care about the upstate. Remember when the upstate burned? Record-breaking Table Rock fire, and he didn't even show up until I took him to the woodshed. 8 days later, finally, after I screamed and yelled about it, he should have been on the ground running the thing. He shows up, breezes into town, gets lunch, and breezes out. It's about how long he was here. They have no respect for you. But you can take it back. You can show them, because look at how the upstate's done. We voted different from the rest of the state. We just saved, by the way, you saved the entire Freedom Caucus. They spent, you can tell by the mailers, they spent millions trying to take them out. We fought. I educated you on all those mailers. You fought. You put every one of them back. Rob Harris just by 35 votes. They are butthurt over that in Columbia. They told all his donors, many of them liberal donors, I assure you, oh, we can beat him. And we did it. We did that. Now finish it. Break the back of this machine. Why? Not going to be perfect if Wilson wins. And I'm going to pretend it is. Show them they can lose, that this behavior will not be tolerated, the giving away of that seat. Folks, we needed that seat. We could see a Hakeem Jeffries speakership easily because McMaster and Evett did this for their own selfish needs to force Trump to endorse them. And then they screw him over and we don't even get the seat because McMaster won't lift a finger to go after Shane Massey. And folks, you know what's really bad? You know what the worst thing is? McMaster is either so weak or so complicit with the Democrats in the Uniparty, I don't know which it is, that, folks, the Democrats are now openly running, just about openly, Democrat candidates in our primaries like David Pascoe. And Trump, with everything he's doing, has to stop and put out two Truth Social posts, two, saying, hey, y'all, David Pascoe's a Democrat, don't vote for him. McMaster didn't do that. Did you see Pam Evett do that? No. They are letting the Democrats walk in here and take these seats running as Republicans. Trump's got to stop what he's doing and fix it. That's what an Evett governorship will look like. Democrats running wild, if not complicit with her. Shane Massey, who's really a Democrat, running things in the Senate. No one calling them out. No punishment. You can make them respect you again by going to the polls. You could do it today. They close at 5 and voting Alan Wilson. They need to be taken to the woodshed so bad. It hasn't happened in 15 years. You could do it now. Send the message. You must vote. By the way, polls are closed tomorrow for Juneteenth. See, that's a symptom of the problem anyway. Why are we closing the polls for Juneteenth? Because they're woke. And McMaster is watching them infiltrate our government. There needs to be punishment for that. You can deliver it. You can make them respect the upstate again, but you got to go to the polls to do it. You've got to vote for Alan Wilson. Even Trump knows this. That's why Fox News just reported it looks like a co-endorsement's coming down. Okay, Fox News reporting it looks like there could be, been a rumor of this for about 2 days, a co-endorsement by Trump in the governor's campaign. Folks, you have an amazing opportunity to deal a death blow, a punishment to the Lindsey Graham machine in the state, which is really the Bush Rover machine. You need to go vote Alan Wilson. I mean, folks, do you really want to reward the governorship of Henry McMaster, which lost $1 billion, and then try to blame poor Curtis Loftus, a guy whose responsibility it wasn't even to manage the money when it was the buck stops with McMaster? And folks, we had international humiliation over that. We had to hire a firm. It took us a year to figure out where, if anywhere, that money was. That's the McDisaster regime. Okay, do you want to continue with Pam Evett? I don't think so. You need to go to the polls today. They close at 5. They're closed tomorrow. And you need to vote for Alan Wilson. That's what my family and I are doing.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.